Well, ladies and gents, it's me, Doug Vaughn, here to tell you it's that magical time of the year again. Edges for Pledges at Bertarelli Cutlery. Bring in anything that needs sharpening on April 30th, and all of the proceeds will go to the Backstoppers. I must say, this is a cause I can get behind. Also, a portion of sales in the retail showroom and the Mission Taco food truck will go to this fine charity as well. So what do you say? Get yourself down to Bertarelli Cutlery at 1927 Marconi on the Hill and support the Backstoppers.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.
706 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn. Doug, sitting across from you all week. Is Charlie Marlowe. He works at the 2 Fox.
Well, I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Charlie, it makes a lot of the listeners happy when you're in all week. Do you know that? I know you'll focus on, you know, some of the
yes. Yep. I do.
The text that'll make reference to high school sports coverage, which you don't do anymore. I mean, you might do it, but that's not your primary job. Doug, this is an anchor you're sitting next to.
I know. He's a big-time guy.
Big-time.
It may focus on your weight, which is unfortunate, especially when you consider the appearances of most of the people texting in.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But they love you. When it gets down to it, they love you.
I'll take it. I'll take the good with the bad, Doug.
There you go. That's the attitude.
Well, I hope you're sharp, Charlie, because I'm not going to be much good to you, fellas.
Oh, what happened now?
Sunday at 1:30.
Had a little domestic dispute with Lady Journalism, and she had me working dusk to dawn yesterday.
Man.
You know, so I'm a little bleary-eyed.
So let me guess, you had to cover the press conference early for the Blues?
Earlier than that, I was involved in a Parkinson's charity event run at, 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, a lot of your pictures popped up on the fan page.
Did you see that? Yeah.
Did you run?
And then I then walked 3 miles. And then I had to do the Blues and then had to stay and help with sports. It was just a long night is all.
What were the boys saying?
Skate. You know, they're saying they'll have to skate, definitely. That this game will determine who moves on.
You think so?
And who goes home.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, this is the 7 o'clock hour presented by Acorns Golf. Perfect weather this weekend to get out on the course. The weather is officially warm now, Doug, so you can enjoy Acorns Golf, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. Get on out and enjoy the beautiful golf course that is Acorns Golf. Coming up on your Get Tinted STL Captain's Log, I told the Sea Monster, I said it's all Game 7 all the time, not just Monday, but also Tuesday.
Ugh.
And so our guest list includes Sergio Momesso, the former Blues winger, and now TSN analyst, Jamie McLennan. You call him
Noodles. I don't call him, but the other players call him Noodles.
He will be with us at 8:30, and he's also a TSN analyst. And then every day after a Blues game or on a Monday after a game on a Friday or Saturday night, or Sunday for that matter, Kelly Chase with us, the Blues analyst and host of the NHLPodcast.com. He is presented by GFI Digital. Noodles presented by Maggie O'Brien's. Your thoughts are welcome by texting in at 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. You're welcome to call in on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, the Appliance Discounters, with 6 St. Louis area locations to serve you online at theappliancediscounters.com, theappliancediscounters.com. Pay no Missouri sales tax on the purchase of an Energy Star rated appliance right now. The Appliance Discounters, big cash rebates, and a tax-free purchase. This is the week to save. It is the Appliance Discounters, the sponsor of our phone lines with locations in Baldwin, Webster, St. Charles, Arnold, South City, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. TheAppliancesDiscounters.com. Call in. Get involved. Doug, we encourage it. I have already gone to the Twitter tweets and the fan page to get a gauge on where people are for this evening's Game 7. Oh. The first time these two teams have matched up in a Game 7 since 1990. And I said, if you had to put a decent amount of cash on it, trying to mitigate the emotion factor, both those who no matter what would pick the Blues and both those who feel like, based on what they saw in the second period in particular on Saturday night at the United Center, are feeling very down. If you had to just put, Charlie, maybe 25% of your bankroll on it, Okay.
So that's like $12. Go ahead.
Right. Where would you put your money? And at this moment, I've received 526 votes. 74% on Twitter say the Blackhawks.
Ah, come on, you Bluesers.
And on...
Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Don't give up on them.
Face bin, it's approximately the same ratio. 123 say Blackhawks, 36 say Blues.
I'm disappointed in the fan base, Tim.
Yeah, I remember you asked us this question before the series started, and I said I would pick the Blackhawks. I thought it was basically a toss-up series, 50-50, so from that standpoint, I didn't have a real good feeling either way. And then just the way the last couple games have gone, and maybe I am thinking about, you know, the Blues history in the last 4 years or so, but I certainly don't have a good feeling about it. I don't.
You
I'm not saying
36 or 46.
Right, I'm just saying I'm not saying that they can't win this game, but if I were to bet it, I can't bet on this Blues team until they prove it to me.
Well, except for that second period and maybe the third on Saturday night, they've been just as good as the Blackhawks throughout this series. Maybe better in long stretches. When you just watch and you're helpless to do anything about it, you look for the big trends, I think, and think that, well, we've lost the last two. We've lost last year and the year before that and the 50 years before that. It's going to happen again. If you're a player, you don't think that way. They're going to come out loaded for bear. The crowd is going to be screaming and going to blow the roof off the place. They won't be down thinking that, geez, we sure played a lousy second period the other night. I don't think that'll affect them at all. I look for the Blues to come out and make a very good effort tonight, and I think they can win it.
Yeah, we all
can
agree.
Win.
They can.
I'll say they will win it. They'll win it 3-2. They're going to win 3-2. I'm not going to allow myself to be depressed and disappointed all day because it's over. Every bit as good as the Blackhawks.
I agree
They're
with you.
They're every bit as good as they are.
I agree with you, Doug. All I'm saying is...
We have a bell.
I think the bell might be broken.
My tanks are so hot.
No, yeah.
I got to cool the tanks down a little bit.
No. Hold people
we
accountable.
Got a long
scream.
Week. Where do you get a bell like that? Is there an office store
I
close?
I can't imagine. I think it comes with the thin walls.
Doug is holding the Blues fans accountable.
Where did we get that bell?
Charlie?
Is that like Office Depot?
Big Lots?
We need a bell.
It goes from Big Lots.
I want a
Big
bell.
Big Lots it was.
Odd Lots,
you know,
as my dad calls it. Odd Lots.
I will pick the Blues on their home ice in a bounce-back performance.
Nice.
3-2.
But would you bet 25% of John Vaughn's, the next Vaughn kid's education? John Vaughn's already out of college, right?
Yes, he is. Boy, that took a while, too. Do we have to get into that right now?
No, but Tim was saying,
Doug's
now
fired
I know
up.
I know you're coming on and you're hey, we all want the Blues to win. That's
mm-hmm.
obvious. But would you, if you had to wager a significant amount of money?
Yeah, your role.
Well, I don't think I would feel any more comfortable wagering it on the Blackhawks. You know, I don't feel so strongly that Chicago's going to win that I would bet it on them either. So I guess the answer is yes, I would bet that much on the Blues.
Well, I hope you're right.
I really, and I'm sure others would say, this isn't results-oriented. It's just dumb. The Blackhawks were plus 600, which means you bet 100, you win 600 if the Blackhawks win the series following game four. And so for emotional risk management purposes, even if you're like, oh, the Blues are going to win this thing, there's no point, but I'll just throw 100 on it, might as well, on the off chance. Because now the odds are, which is unique, with whoever having home ice is usually about a minus 135 to minus 145, meaning you got to bet 145 to win 100. It is even. Both teams are minus 110 per Bovada tonight. Bovada.lv if you'd like to do some sports wagering. Doug, always use my email account, tmckernan@hotmail.com, because then I get a hookup for being your referral. Hook me up.
What kind of hookup you get, fellow?
A little payment.
T. McKernan at hotmail.com.
All CEOs have... You go to Warren Buffett, it's warrenbuffett@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
All great CEOs use Hotmail.
Is that what Hillary Clinton used to get hacked?
I think she was on AOL.
Was it?
I think she was on AOL. But either way, AOL, Hotmail, all the greats. Text in 314-880-0808. 314-880-0808. Benjamin Hockman of the Post-Dispatch and also the Writer's Block here on our station wrote this, and I couldn't agree more with it. No matter what, in Blues history, April 25th, 2016 will be remembered. That's a rare scenario.
that you wake up on a morning and you know that the day will have historical significance. It will have historical significance whether it be a win or a loss. If it's a win, it will be one of the great wins in Blues recent history, and perhaps you could make a case, depending how the game plays out, if it's a Game 6 2011 World Series caliber game, one of the greatest of all time. If they lose, fair or unfair, and I know, Doug, already you'll come in on this, I think the majority of fans, and that the majority doesn't make it right, I think the majority of fans would then say Ken Hitchcock will be gone. I would imagine perhaps David Backes may be gone. Some may say they're going to be gone either way, whether they win this game, potentially, even if they don't, you know, I don't know. I think they might be gone anyway. But it will not only dictate the manner with which this era, for most fans, not for everybody, will remember 2012 through 2016. So it doesn't just dictate the short-term future. It also dictates the legacy, because you would have three 100-point teams, and as Hockman writes, it would have been four 100-point teams likely, and the season shortened by the lockout, that didn't get past the first round, including two series in which they were up 2-0 and they lost four straight, and a series in which they were up 3-1 and they lost three straight. Now, you might disagree with that, but that's not subjective. That data is objective, and I thought that this was just done from memory yesterday when I saw a gentleman from the Blackhawks beat in Chicago tweet out, the Blackhawks are now 32-7 in games 5 through 7 of a playoff series under Joel Quenneville, the next best in the NHL in that span. The Kings are 15-10. So once again, the Blackhawks are 32-7 in games 5 through 7 of a playoff series under Joel Quenneville. The Blues under Ken Hitchcock in games 5 through 7, for the record, they haven't played a game 7 under Hitchcock until tonight. The Blues are 1-8 under Ken Hitchcock in games 5 through 7 with an 8-game losing streak. The one game 5 they won was 2012 against the Sharks to win that series. Ever since, they have lost every game 5 and 6 under Ken Hitchcock.
Sounds like maybe they shouldn't have fired Quenneville.
That's what I take away from it.
Well, I think if they lose, this will be a big time in Blues history because it will probably signal a change in regime. If they win, I don't think it necessarily would be. If you're going to play proper respect to history, they've had a lot bigger wins than first round game seven wins. They just have. I mean, they've been to the Stanley Cup three times and they've played in series finals.
That's a recent history.
But I think if they win, 2 weeks from now, we'll be saying this game six or seven in round two will be the biggest that they've had in recent history. I think if it goes poorly, it'll be a more monumental date than if they win. We've gotten to the point where we're expecting them to do it. Sooner or later, they're going to get past this round one and get this monkey off their back. But again, if they lose, I think it probably would probably be the end of the Hitchcock.
Yeah, this is the last chance for this group. I thought it was the last. I thought that in 2014 when Taves had the game winner in overtime game five, I'm like, wow, that's going to be it. And they got another chance and then another chance. This is it. I mean, it has to be. And Ken Hitchcock's not even under contract for next year. So like I said, they could win the cup and he might be done. I don't know.
And I think what's hurting his cause is this Tarasenko thing that's come up here in the last couple days where he's not getting the ice time that you would expect from
you
the
You asked Kelly Chase
really.
About that on Friday.
Yeah.
So this was pre the end of the power play in game
five. It was noticeable in game five that he was getting 10 minutes of ice less than Stasny, and it would indicate that the Blackhawks are the one controlling who plays. That when they put out their big guns, we have to put out Stasny and Brouwer in the checking line, and they're getting a third as much playing time as our star.
But other people would say on the other side that that's allowing Vladimir Tarasenko the time he is on the ice to be out there against their lesser players, and you're keeping him fresh that way. That I have heard people say that on the other side.
What Hitchcock was saying is it doesn't matter. Don't pay attention to ice time. It's about number of shifts that he gets. He says that Tarasenko's always getting hit. He plays a very physical game, that he's not a guy who goes out there and plays for 47 seconds, 48 seconds a shift. He's a guy who plays 30 seconds a shift.
Here is what Hitchcock said yesterday at the skate soundbite number four, boys.
Knowledgeable hockey people don't look at time. They look at shifts. And shifts matter. So the game he plays is a physical game. It's at the puck. It's around the puck. It's one-on-one, and it's very demanding. So he's not going to be a 48, 49-second hockey player and be effective. He's a guy that has to play in short bursts, and that's what he does. He plays great in short bursts, so his energy stays high. But he's a young guy who plays a big man's game that's physically demanding, especially at this time of year.
And Lenwin would say, well, if that's the case, then you would think that Tarasenko would understand that, except at the end of the second period when the Blues were on their first and only power play in Game 6, there was an exchange that the cameras picked up. And here is soundbite number 5, which explains why Tarasenko and Hitchcock were having a verbal spar at the end of the second period.
Get the lever.
No, I don't think it's ice time related. I think he felt like yesterday he could have helped on that power play. We didn't get a change on the power play because we had the thing in the end all the time. So that's what happens when you got a guy like that that wants to make a difference. I love it. I love it in him. What we weighed was they just came off a long shift and they were tired. So I was trying to cheat to get time to give him a rest, but the referee wouldn't let us cheat. So he wanted our players out there right away. But we were trying to cheat to see if we could get a rest. But the group that went out there did a great job. They kept it in there. They had 5 scoring chances. Did a great job. But what are you going to do? You're not going to take it back into your end and regroup to make a change when you got it in their end the whole time. So,
Ken Hitchcock on Tarasenko going after him after the second period. Guys, I hate that quote. He's talking down to every Blues fan. The fewer minutes means he has less time to be effective. That is from the 314. You can text in 314-880-0080. Call in if you would like. We love the phone lines. 314-880-0808, the appliance discounter phone lines. And if you're looking for a place to go before or after the game, how about Truman's in Soulard? Truman's in Soulard, pony up for Cardinals games, pony up for Blues playoff games. It's Truman's in Soulard, a great sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. For Cardinal games, you can take the Truman shuttle to Truman's and enjoy, or to the Scott Trade Center and to Busch Stadium. Their covered patio is perfect for watching the game on their huge outdoor TVs. If you need a ball, ride to the ballpark, take the free shuttle down to the game. Truman's and Soulard, your neighborhood bar, 1818 Sydney Street, or TrumanSoulard.com. Your thoughts on what Ken Hitchcock had to say about him and Tarasenko?
I don't know, having never played hockey, I don't know what the difference is between taking a 30-second shift and a 45-second shift. If the last 15 seconds of that shift is really that drastically different on a player, if you're just gassed in those last 15 seconds. So I don't really know if Tarasenko would tell you that, yeah, you got to get me out after 30 because I'm tired, I need a rest after that. I would think that he could go as long as the other guys on the shift and that you would want him out there more. But, you know, clearly Hitchcock must know what he's talking about this. He's done this forever. I don't think he's keeping Tarasenko on the bench to prove a point or to punish somebody or anything. I think that's just the way he thinks it ought to be.
Yeah, I see both sides of it. But when you see Tarasenko clearly disappointed, frustrated there after that second period, and he is your star, and maybe you need to try to throw him out there and extend him longer than you feel comfortable with because he is your best player and he's your guy scoring most of the goals in this series. So, you know, if he's frustrated, I also respect Vladimir Tarasenko to kind of know his game. So maybe he has to be out there a little bit more. Even if Ken Hitchcock doesn't think it's best going forward, he's your best player and you have one game left.
The power play they were talking about, he really couldn't get him on the ice. The Blues had almost constant pressure on the Blackhawk goal, and you're not going to make a line change at that point. So, you know, Tarasenko, I don't think, has a beef on that particular power play that they were
talking
about.
Well, that's my point, is wouldn't Vladimir Tarasenko know that? You know, he knows hockey much better than we all do.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Maybe he'd been... I think definitely we know the game better than he does.
For you, Doug.
That must have been simmering from the whole game, I would think, if he's going to get that upset. I don't think he would have gotten that upset over one power play.
Now we're focused on that final few seconds of the second period where Tarasenko and Hitchcock were having their exchange. But then there were the other 19 minutes and 55 seconds of a second period that didn't go well.
No.
It didn't go well. The Blues entered that second period up 3-1 in a series that they had led 3-1, leading the series 3-2 at that point. And they played one of their worst periods in playoff hockey that I can recall. I gather that there might be some from previous series that didn't necessarily seem to have as much importance, and certainly not the opportunity to close anybody out with that kind of play, but they were absolutely dominated in the second period of what was, to this point, the most important period of hockey that they've played all season. Horrifying.
That was really the first moment in this series where you got the sense that, oh, this is going to go just like all the other first-round series. It's not going to work. The same old thing is going to happen again. That's the first inkling we got of that.
See,
right up until that moment, they had been every bit as good and mostly better than the Blackhawks.
Right, and that's where I do think this year's team is different. I really do. But the fact is, you're still playing a really good Blackhawks team. And I get it why every fan, every media member, they look at it over these last 4 or 5 years. I do the same, but I do think this year's team is different. They're just playing the defending Stanley Cup champs. But we've seen the Blues in the game where they come back after being down 3-1 after the second, and you think they're not even going to be able to be in the game, and they force overtime. And then in Game 6 on Saturday, they go down 1-0 at the United Center, and you think, oh, this is not a good start. And all of a sudden, they're up 3-1. So I do think they have, you know, more resiliency, but it's just, as Hitchcock has said, the other guys are allowed to play, too. This is a really good opponent.
Hell, they's on scholarship, too.
He's on scholarship, too. Yeah.
I saw the stat today that in Game 7s, the team that, over history, the teams that scored first 119 times, and the team that didn't score first won 42 times.
Yeah, Hockman had that in his column as well.
So that'd be a pretty good indicator.
Home team is 94-67 in NHL Game 7s. 40 of those games have gone to overtime, with home and road teams each winning 20. So it's split down the middle on that. And in all Game 7s, the team that scores first is 119-42.
That might be just hockey in general, though. If you looked at all hockey games, you might have a similar stat there.
Plowboy, look at all hockey games.
All hockey games that have ever been played anywhere.
How do you feel about, you said Blackhawks in 7, if I'm not mistaken. You said this 2 weeks ago.
I actually hope I'm wrong. I'm just glad I have a day off so I can actually sit down, watch the pregame, watch every minute of the game. So that's exciting. But I'm kind of wary that the Blackhawks might take this one.
I saw the Plowhawk up at Billy G's on Saturday. He was working, and boy, was he working fine and working well. And if I'm not mistaken, the Plowhawk kind of said he wouldn't mind if the Blues would lose that game because he prefers a Game 7 atmosphere, which makes him a true Plowhawk.
Now, I don't know. I think you might be paraphrasing me on that one, Tim. I think I said I would love if the Blues sealed it tonight, which would have been Saturday. However, I kind of would like to see the atmosphere in St. Louis for a Game 7. Win or lose, it's going to be nuts here. So I think maybe I did hint that I wouldn't mind a Game 7, but I certainly wouldn't have minded wrapping it up in Chicago.
What was there panic at Billy G's when the TV station went out?
Here's the deal. I was there, I think.
Were you there? Or was this just in general?
No, I was at a party, and the picture froze. And apparently it froze everywhere because Channel 5 had some kind of power hit.
I think that was
typical Channel
5. I think DirecTV was able to keep the program on. But I left after the first period of Billy G's. I worked there all day, and I was able to watch the third period at home. So I wasn't there when the channel went out.
Huh, you had to drive home quickly between periods.
I couldn't find it on the radio. I wasn't for sure if that was being broadcast on the radio or not, so I had to rush home.
I believe they didn't carry it over.
Yeah.
Was it not at KMOX?
No, it wasn't.
No.
Because
they
got to put on Y98 or something.
Yeah, it was Y98.
It's all Cardinals all the time.
Yeah.
We had a preacher on, I'm sure. Yeah. But either way, I did see the Plowhawk. It was a pony at Billy G's. On Saturday, you know who was there?
Who was there?
Take a guess.
Can I have initials, please?
L.
L.
L Cool J is hard as hell. L Cool J is hard as hell.
A lesbian.
Lionel Richie.
Be great if there was. I'm sure there was. I just did. She wasn't near me.
L.
It was not Lionel Richie.
Ellen. Ellen. Call her Ellen.
I think that starts with an E.
Well, there's two L's in there, though, Chunk.
That's true.
L. There is no last name. It's just a one-person name.
The last name is M, but she's not known.
L-M, she's not
for
known.
Her last name. Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
Lisa.
L-M, Lady
Gibbons.
Maga. Lisa Gibbons was there.
Is not.
No.
Liza
L.
Minnelli. Got it.
Liza Minnelli.
M, bring it. Bring it.
Celebrating
L-M.
The passing of her husband,
L-M.
The great David Guest.
Can I have the second letter of the last name, please?
O.
M-O. L. Elmo. Elmo. Can I have the second letter of the first name, please?
A.
L-A-M-O.
L-A.
Larry. Larry and Mo.
Lanny?
Larry and Mo were there.
Lanny Watkins?
Lanny. Oh, he had a nice mustache. Can I please have
Laura,
the third
Laura.
Letter?
Laura.
Laura. No. The
third letter of the first name, please.
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
L-A-C. Lace.
Oh, Lace.
Lace.
Chick from,
Lace from Bachelor.
That's right.
Whew. Really?
You got that.
Well, we
that
got
was pretty
that.
Good.
Yeah, right away. That
who
was easy.
With? A gentleman? A gentleman caller?
No, she was with, I guess, a friend from, I think she's in from Denver.
Everybody recognize her? A lot of people?
No. It was
but you
packed.
Did.
Yeah. And I said, hey, Lace, what's the word? Because that's my line. That's how I've been banging them two at a time for years.
You were ponied up, leaning against the bar, having a scotch and some spaghetti.
No, I was at my table. I have a table.
Okay.
Whoa. Hashtag blessed. You get a table at a restaurant.
Yep.
She walked over to you, no doubt. You didn't say a word to her.
No, she listens to the show. She streams Gateway Buick GMC Live.
She was on the presentation.
She was. And then I said, hey, you were on our show on Thursday. And she goes, why didn't you say hi? And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, just did. But I wasn't going to focus on that. I said, this is my wife, Anna Marie. And then you know what? I'll tell you what she did.
What,
she went right in on Anna Marie.
She did.
And then I just kind of sat. I went behind the shrubs and just peeked. That's what I do.
Oh,
when I sense lesbianism in the air, I go behind the shrubs and just pull one of the shrub branches to the side. And I peek.
So you hide in the bushes.
I do. I do.
Of Billy G.
That's right. A lot of people think it's weird, but most of them can't see me.
Especially when you're already at your table.
Right.
And you excuse yourself to go crouch behind a bush. And so then what happened, Tim?
We hung out. We talked about the event that she was in. It seemed like she might have already had a little nip of the, just a nip of the.
Cooking chair.
That's right.
Well, nipper.
That's right. That's right. Al Nipper was a pitcher from.
Yeah, he was from Hazelwood, I think. North County, played for the Red Sox.
Yep. And is related to Lace.
Really?
Yep.
And so she just stayed at your table for a while?
She was there for just a bit. Just a bit. But really liked Anna Marie. And she said, let's get a picture. Let's get a picture. And I'm going, well, this is odd, but okay. But she goes, oh, so you're Tim. And then there was Doug. And I'm going.
She remembered it.
Yeah. And I go, you remember our names? You have a photograph of
Well, maybe
memory?
That was the only interview that she's
That's
done.
Kind of what I would think.
Because maybe it was we're the only ones who really watch it.
Seamaster, was there a competition? Did we like have to fight off Guy Phillips to get Lace on, when was that, Thursday? The number one play baby was in town. He had a hell of a...
Yeah.
Where's the Seamaster? He's right behind you.
Where did he go?
Well, if you remember, we talked about it on the show because the proprietor...
Oh, I like that, proprietor. I like
proprietor of the venue she was at, 612 Kitchens, I guess listens to the show and had reached out to Doug via Twitter.
Ah.
To let him know that she would be in
so
town.
So she wanted to be on this show.
Yeah.
The show of record.
She wanted to meet you.
I would assume, but as always, had zero interest in me, had more interest in my wife. That's pretty much par for the course. You can be the straightest of straight women, and you'll pick Anna Marie over me. And honestly, I can't blame anybody for it. She goes, oh, my God, you're beautiful. Come on, come over here. I'm like, wow, look at this.
Wow, you know, this is going to be your dream.
Yeah. And then it happened right in the bushes.
And I go to the shrub.
So, excuse me.
Yeah.
You put the chair out.
Randall Rodney in the shrubs.
You find a bush, and you just crouch.
With binoculars.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's my move.
Holding like a potted plant so nobody can see you.
That's right.
They have bushes there.
I think there's some shrubs there. Is there? I do.
I know out front there is, but you don't go on the sidewalk, right? There's some shrubs proper inside.
Shrubs proper, indoors. I'll text Greg
they
on that at Billy G's.
They get him at Tease Farms, probably.
Yeah, it is Tease Farms, the official shrub of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yeah, so she was, as the cat says, a delight. She was a delight.
Yeah.
But I think she'd had just a nip, even though it was only like 6:30, 6:45.
Is that right?
She'd already had just a nip of
Well, she appeared to have a nip of something on the show, too, on The Bachelor show.
She did.
Kind of caused her early exit.
No.
Now, what was her story? Was she a news anchor?
No,
that's the one who
said Olivia, Chuck, come on.
I didn't really watch this season, to be honest with you. So what was...
Lace was a very...
She's pretty fine.
Very attractive, willowy brunette.
I've seen the picture of her on the flyer in the studio, but I'm saying, like, what was her deal? Was she cool? Was she a little nutty?
Nutty.
Okay.
I liked her because I could tell she had an edge, and I kind of like that because that usually means that he's a little freakier in the bed, and I don't need that at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
And almost every girl that you meet, you wind up in bed with, so that's an important
judgment. Not almost every, but 90%.
Most.
90%.
It's a good batting average.
All right.
Now, well, I mean, look at me.
She made a good first impression, Chuck, but she wanted to kiss the bachelor just immediately. And then she got drunk and didn't like when he was looking at other.
But this is great that you
and
do.
Was it looking at other women, and she said, "Hey, I ought to get more attention than this." And she kind of forced herself on him.
Now hold on a second. And this was Ben, Bachelor Ben.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, but why would it be a negative if an attractive woman wanted to kiss him on the first date?
I don't know.
Wouldn't he want to do
Doug
that?
Doug must be for them.
Yikes! See, look up.
Wow, you like that? Is that are you saying yikes when you see me?
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Wow.
Oh, you're a fan,
Tim. You look great.
Thank you, Charlie.
Oh. Is Tim
she's got some real short shorts on.
She does. She want to show off that ass.
Okay.
Blues Blackhawks game 7 tonight.
You were wearing boy shorts yourself, weren't you?
Yeah, you can't tell in that picture, though. You gotta.
They're frayed.
Yeah, you cropped it.
They're frayed.
Are they fine, them bitches. Yeah, he's very attractive.
That was a pony up there.
So did other people go up to her throughout the night?
I didn't see. She wandered by our table. And then I guess there was like a really young girl who wanted to get her picture with us after, or not us, with Lace after. But I don't know. She was there with some other people hanging out. Cool broad. Really cool. And really seemed to enjoy the interview that, to me, was part of one of the worst hours of radio this show's ever done.
Which makes it among the best.
Yeah.
Because that's who we are.
That's
we're
saying
not
a lot,
on scholarship.
Though.
We are not on scholarship.
Not
as far as radio goes, we're all walk-ons.
That's true.
Tim, what was that cake like, brah? That comes from Manchild, 79. Doug, would you like to answer the question?
You had some cake at Billy G's.
Was it sheet cake?
I like a bundt.
Oh, nice bundt cake.
I like red velvet.
It was fine. It was kind of a textbook white woman ass, though. I mean, it wasn't like a... You know, like what's going on, I think, in the San Fernando Valley, a lot of ass implants.
What are you talking about? He asked about cake.
Yeah, I know. Her ass.
Huh.
There's also the band Cake.
Well, I don't talk about women that way.
I do. I've been doing it for a while. Right. Long time, actually.
I respect them too much.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I saw her at that charity event. She was, this wasn't a good review. So this guy went to the charity event? It was like a serious charity event. It wasn't like she was like going to like a club. Remember when they used to do that? Here, it's kind of sad. There'd be like a club opening in St. Charles, and somebody who'd just been on, you know, gotten 2,000 friends on MySpace or something would get to walk the red carpet.
Somebody who just got kicked
off. Very odd time in our pop culture.
They got kicked off Real World Road Rules Challenge. I'll tell you what, though. I would have done that.
Well, of course you would.
I mean, if I was 23 and I was on Real World.
If I were the owner of the business, if I would have invested those dollars, but right. I don't know.
We interviewed one of the guys that was on that show. I forget which one it was.
The guy that wore the mask. He came to the D. Gregorio's Market.
Him or someone else, and they were saying that a year later they'd go into bars and the girls would be all over him. They remembered him wherever he went, and he didn't even make it to the end.
I guess we got to go on The Bachelor then.
I don't think we'd be selected, Tim.
What are you talking
is there an
about?
Age limit, Doug?
I think there probably is, yeah.
We're looking for 39-year-old, short, bald, married men.
Wouldn't it be funny, though? So,
just to watch the woman, as I get out of the limousine, just bolt like the wind.
It would be funny, though, just if, like, for the next one, it's The Bachelorette, right? So you have like, 24 dudes who are all, like, 28, good-looking, and, you know, very successful. And then you just have one random, like... 67-year-old dude.
Guy who's been toning up at Brio for the last 3 years, just hoping that finally there'll be a breakthrough. Tim, I've spent some time in Doug Shrubs. Do you care to join?
Okay.
That's from the Imperial Shrub Sitter.
Who is it? The Imperial Shrub Sitter, you have been suspended. You have been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and your name is going into the Ragazzi's, leather-bound suspension logule. Ragazzi's, right there in the hill. The Imperial Shrub Sitter,
that's
did
correct,
you say?
Sir. That's correct.
Oh, I didn't write that down yet, Tim.
I also always wonder, this Jace, just from a curiosity standpoint.
Jace Peterson.
Excuse me, Lace.
Jace Peterson.
Lace, like how much do they make for these appearances?
I feel like I asked her that, but maybe I did. Maybe we were talking about it.
It's got to be considerable for her to fly all the way to the Midwest here.
What do you think? I don't think I asked her.
I would say minimum. You have to make at least five.
My guess was five. My play was five.
I bet $1,000 probably.
No, you don't make a trip from Denver, I don't think, for $1,000.
Oh, you said 5,000?
Yeah.
They're saying 500. I don't know. You might.
Caller Jordan, who is up there with us, says, I nominate Plowhawk for the next Bachelor. Let's make it happen. Plowhawk, would you appear on The Bachelor? God, I'd do whatever I could to make that happen.
Yeah, I probably would. I don't know. There's not a lot of girls though that are looking for guys like me though. So.
Well, that's the
disagree.
Do it, and I agree with Charlie there because the Plowhawk exudes happiness, especially now that the Blackhawks have come back to make it a 3-3 series.
When you try to explain to her what your job is, she'd probably be puzzled and say, "Wait,
yeah, would you focus on the Billy G's gig or would you focus on this gig?"
Oh, this one for sure.
Yeah.
He would tell him about first pitch.
That's the part that would be hard to explain.
I was a co-host with a 21-year-old who brokered time on a 450-watt AM radio station, and I think at that point you're probably enjoying AM.
Yeah, panty dropper there.
Think about this, though. There's all these cable networks. You have, like, Fusion Television, which is a little bohemian. They always have, like, programming talking about
pot. Don't say bohemian.
Pot.
I like that.
Don't say bohemian.
Okay, but it's kind of an apt description. But I think they should have, like, a pothead version of The Bachelor. And Plowboy would
Yeah, but how would you explain that to your kids?
You just mingle in a guy. Every now and then they have somebody that's whacked out.
But he's not whacked out.
Oh, I know, but somebody's a little different.
You take
Plowboy, how do you
that.
Feel about that?
They've had somebody who drinks too. They've had drunks.
His old-ass generation.
Ring it.
I've dealt with people like that all the time. And it's fine that he doesn't like weed. I understand, Doug. But I'm not a weirdo, I promise.
No, I wasn't saying you were a weirdo. I say they've had people that have been on there and been too drunk and got thrown out because of that.
That's when the
show's funny. You
don't want
to make a whole show out of that. You just have a person that's that way.
Well, the problem with that would be, you know my lifestyle, Doug. The show would revolve around me and this chick getting blazed, and then the next 30 minutes would be me trying to finish Tiger on Veteran. You know?
Nurse?
Tiger Woods, veteran, it's really hard. It's about 25 mile an hour wind to your face usually.
That's tough.
We're talking video games now.
Yeah, so that would be the show, so I don't know if it would be a lot of entertainment there.
It would be funny, though, if the whole Bachelor, everybody was high the whole time. And all the scenes, Doug, you had just a bunch of people that were smoked out while they're trying to date each other.
I think half of them are on Adderall. But as far as being high, I don't know if they've had that. I assume somebody had to be at some point. Yeah, but Lace had a nip of the cooking sherry on that show, and I think she had just a nip, right before coming to Billy G's.
She was drunk at Billy G's.
I said just a nip.
You had a nip.
Yep.
And what was her real job before that?
Doug asked her that, didn't you?
I don't think so. If I did, I forgot the answer.
Timber Faker, his girlfriend.
Who was she with at Billy G's?
A friend of hers from Denver who she said had to come with her everywhere.
Huh.
Mm. Oh, and then the girl that was on, that was from St. Louis. She looked very pretty at Billie Jean. She's beautiful, actually. But she's a big Blackhawks fan. Anna Marie recognized her. She was wearing a Hossa jersey.
From The Bachelor?
Yeah, but she's from St. Louis, but she was wearing a Hawks jersey at Billie Jean's. Made me want to scrap. Huh?
I bet.
The most recent episode?
She looked beautiful.
Apparently, Billie Jean's has a reputation now. If you're somebody in this country and you come to St. Louis, that's where you go.
Well,
because
people
you're
know that's
be
where
there.
I am.
Yeah.
Now that's where I, it's like the Sands in Las Vegas in the early 60s, late 50s.
Yeah, you can be guaranteed when you walk in there, you're going to be ponied up at the bar with a scotch in your hand and let the coolness
exude.
Yeah.
Just
and you walk in and say, give me the table by the shrubs.
That's right, because I might need to duck out if there's lesbianism.
Right.
It's my move.
You can just kind of slink right into the bushes.
Doug, she was a real estate agent. Thanks, 913.
Is that right?
Over in Lawrence, isn't it? Is that Lawrence?
Lawrence, Kansas?
Yeah, Rock Chalk.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lace, she's very attractive.
Yeah.
I wonder what she's going to do next, Doug.
They tried to put her on Bachelor in Paradise because they saw the star potential there, but I think she told us she's got a boyfriend now. And she's
Bobby!
Like, she's not going.
Bobby Vestal.
Yeah, Bobby Vestal.
I'm sure it'll last.
Well, now that seems like a mean-spirited thing to say.
I said I'm sure it'll last.
But she said it like kind of like head has no hope of lasting.
But she's kind of young, right? She was just on The Bachelor.
20s, maybe? I don't know.
Guys, I say the Plowboy goes on The Bachelor and Doug goes on Naked and Afraid. Make it happen, Tim. Doug, that comes from Mr. Bojangles.
Hmm. And what do you have to do on Naked and Afraid? Just be naked?
They drop you off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, a lot of shrubs.
You and a woman, usually, and you're both stripped naked, and you both get, like, one item. Like, you can have a machete, and she might have, like, a compass. And then you survive. You try to survive in the wilderness, even though you have a whole camera crew with you, and that nothing ever will really go wrong because they wouldn't let that happen.
Right.
How to survive in South Central, a place where busting a cap is fundamental. Think about it.
Now, I had an issue with that show. I've always wondered, they always try to start fires, and they always try to find kindling, and most of it, whether it be wet or not lightable. No one's ever tried the pubes.
Say that again, please. No one's tried what now?
Like, because...
Wow.
No, I'm
I like this. I want to hear
this
out.
No, I'm serious, though. Like, it's legitimate. Like, they try to find everything possible on the island for kindling, but they never think about using shrubs.
Well, how would that help?
What?
That's one of my favorite comments I've ever, heard on this radio.
It's fast burning.
Program.
Like, it's just like
it's
kindling.
It's fast burning to the point where it's not going to start anything else on fire.
Oh, if you have, like, dry leaves, but you're looking for little sticks to put together, I'm serious, Chuck. I know you think I'm joking.
No, let me ask you this, though, because I think, you know, in 2016, I think a lot of guys, especially women, but even guys, they kind of take care of things down there. I don't think it's real dense. Now, if you know you're going on the show, Doug, and you have, you know, 2-3 months to prepare.
Nice, 2-3.
Maybe you kind of let it go.
Plowsy said once he has 5-inch nip hair.
Well, that's why I brought it up. I wasn't supposed. I mean, I guess it's kind of weird, but
that might start a fire.
You have nipple hair?
No, yeah,
long,
a lot,
long, 4 or 5 inches.
Have you ever seen it? It's really wicked. Do you still have it, or have you trimmed that baby?
It's longer than ever, bud.
Would it be weird if I took some of that and put it on my head? That be at a weird hair transplant? Thank
you. I bet you my right nip has enough for a comb over for sure.
Oh, come on,
Gene Katie,
big urn.
Doug, I'm putting the picture of Lace up on the fan page. I hate to do this because inevitably it's going to lead to...
Oh, yeah. Be careful there.
Variety of snide remarks because my wife's in there. Maybe I can crop out us. Yeah. There it is on the fan page. Have at it. And then I'll take it down here in about 15 minutes.
Get him, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be so appalled by the
Sick
comments.
Em.
Nice head. Where's your hair? What are you, 4'2"? Mm-hmm. Why is she with you? Look at that whore.
I think I just got the top five. This was Steve Harvey's Family Feud.
Yeah.
What's up with your head? Sucks. Was your dad get you those broads? What else can we do?
What's up with your head? People actually say, what's up with your head?
I say, what's up with my head?
I don't notice anything wrong with the head. Proper.
Beautiful, thank you.
I don't really either.
Yeah, it's kind of like the morbid obesity that you have in Doug's Boy Dungeon.
That's true.
Charlie, we were at Bill Maher last night. What do you think? Doug was not there. You wouldn't have been there even if you didn't have your date with...
I wouldn't go to Bill Maher.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny. But also, from watching his show, you kind of you know a lot of the material. I will say this, and my fiance went with me, and she's... I think one of the reasons we have a great relationship, Doug, is we really disagree on a lot of things, especially politically. And she does like the Bill Maher show, but after watching him last night, she said, you know, one of the reasons I really like Real Time is they always have at least, and it's usually one, but they have a conservative on, so you do have good...
That they make fun of all the time.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They have like legitimate authors and political pundits and former politicians that are Republicans, and they debate with Bill Maher and the other people. So I totally disagree with them making... They definitely argue. But one of the reasons that show, there is a lot of debate back and forth, whereas last night it was just obviously all Bill Maher and, you know... liberal comedy.
I was surprised by as was Anna Marie. I mean, I guess it was maybe like an NPR audience, like an older NPR audience. That's what I had to think. I mean, for real. Like, I texted Charlie, and I said, what's the demo around you? And you said it was between 30 and 60. I would say the average age there last night was probably like 55.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
That really did surprise me. I mean, I know he's 60.
It's intelligent talk radio, TV. And that doesn't appeal to the 20-somethings for the most part. They're not going to go see that
on Friday nights. And so, I mean, for people like me who sit on my couch all the time, I'm watching it. We watch it every week. I just find it amusing. But I honestly, last night, it was stunning to me. And, I mean, as we were walking out, too, so it wasn't just the area we were sitting in. It was, I felt like we were, and I'm almost 40, I felt like we were one of the youngest, I mean, Anna Marie's younger than me, but I felt like we were like the youngest people in our area, you know? And
when
we were walking out, it was the same, which is fine. But yes, I you might be right, Doug. I feel like it was probably like an NPR crowd. I thought the funniest stuff... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, I didn't think it was going to be all the Bernie supporters, because you do see from demographics that so many Bernie supporters are young and college-age kids, and I don't necessarily think they watch Real Time yet. Maybe they will down the road.
Kids? No, it's not a show for kids. But there are some people who never really get in touch with reality, and they're still liberals when they're middle-aged.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, what are you going to do about that?
Oh, I don't care.
There are some.
I don't either.
There are some who never come into touch with reality. We'll cling to that.
Okay, Doug.
What do you think of the show? I haven't asked you that.
I thought it was very funny. But even myself, for not being like I lean liberal, but I really think I'm pretty close
you
to the
middle.
You
won't when you get to be 50.
Okay, Doug, I get it.
Okay.
But I do think it was like really, I mean, it was, you know, 70 minutes or 80 minutes, however long it went, of just hammering the right. It was really
I thought the best material was the non-political stuff, which was about 10% of the show. Now, part of it was I was super hungover yesterday and exhausted. I haven't had this happen in a long time where I felt like taking a nap on a Sunday. It was
yeah,
a mess.
I did take a nap.
Oh, God. If it was Anna Marie's birthday present, and if it weren't that, I might have gone, listen, let's just sit this one out, you know. Big game with the Islanders and Panthers. Let's watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so being the greatest husband that I am, and I think it's pretty obvious that I am, that we shot on down there. And I just wasn't necessarily feeling it. But I just, some of it was the same material from the show. Some of it. But I don't know, you know, like, and he's, this would be something that, at least from a conservative liberal standpoint, it would appeal more to conservatives. And so he's irritated with liberals that both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders won't say radical Islam, and he spent some time on that, which is an opposite of, at least at this moment, liberal stance for the most part, and went after each religion, including Eastern religions, not just Christianity and Judaism and Islam, taking shots at them all, which I find to be good entertainment, whether I agree with it or not. But the stuff more about sex and masturbation was more up my alley. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, there was a lot of masturbation humor.
Yeah, and I had this woman right across from me, you probably could hear her, who would like howl at everything, and she howled so loud when he brought up masturbation that he goes, oh, finally, 48 minutes into the show, ma'am, and I finally hit on a topic that
yes.
She was right next to me.
And there was the woman, I think she was in the front row.
Oh, yeah.
Who turned her phone on.
That was like a couple rows in front of us. And I'm like, because my phone kept going off with a bunch of texts, and I didn't want to pull my phone because I'm going, God, is there something going on? I mean, this is a lot of texts. What the hell's going on? I'm thinking, who knows what the hell, you know, could, you never know, you know. And I didn't want to pull out my phone. I'm glad I didn't because somebody pulled out their phone to check, and he like stopped the show for 3 minutes to go after her.
But he was pretty nice.
Yeah, considering.
Considering that happened. He could have been a lot meaner. To this woman.
Well, you shouldn't be mean to the paying audience.
Well, I mean, they say before the show starts, do not take out your phones during the show and or record or take pictures. So, I mean, you are warned. It's not something where he's just picking as he goes along.
If they said, go ahead and use your phones if you'd like during the show, I suspect most people in the crowd would have their phone and just constantly checking, looking up and hearing the show and then checking to see what's going on.
I also thought it was cool. Just from a kind of a comedy standpoint, I like to watch the guys and see how they do their shows and all that. And I had never before seen a comic who he went up there and he had like a music stand, like one you'd put sheet music on if you were playing an instrument. And he had some notes. So it looked like that was his way to freshen up his routine on a weekly basis, you know, talking about the politics and the news of the day, because he would walk over to that stand, you know, every 2 or 3 minutes and turn the page as if he kind of had some notes. And I'm sure some of it was written from real time. You know, they write that show on Thursdays or Friday before it goes on, and he probably has some jokes that he carries over. So it's probably fresher than most comedy shows where the same guy does, you know, the routine for a whole year.
How long was he up there?
What do you think, 70 minutes?
About 90 minutes, actually.
Oh, was it that long?
Yeah.
That'd be hard to pull off.
That is a long
hour and a half to be entertaining, just talking.
Yeah, and then as we were walking to our car, did you park in the garage that's attached to the Scott Trade Center?
I got free parking on the
Blast!
Street. How about that? We got there early,
media
man.
Parking.
Got there early, ponied up at the bar, had a couple of drinks.
Thanks for calling. I must not have been home.
But I told you guys I was going to be there.
Yeah, but thanks for calling. I must not have been home.
Okay, but it's a cell phone, so it's not a house line.
So we were walking out, and he was about to get into his limousine, and then he came out and sign some stuff, but he wouldn't do pictures. That's his whole thing. He wouldn't do pictures.
Oh, heaven forbid someone take a picture of someone on TV. I want to be a TV star, but don't you dare take a picture of me. I want to be rich and famous, but don't act like
Joshua wanted to be a singer,
star.
And he was scared to sing.
I hate that.
You hate
people,
Joshua?
No, I
damn you to
people,
hell.
People who want to be television stars or movie stars, they want to be someone, they want to be famous, but oh, now that I'm famous, don't act like I'm famous.
I'll
that's exactly what you wanted, was to be famous. Okay, you are, and now you tell people, don't take a picture of me. Give me a break.
But maybe I'll post this on the fan page, too, and it'll lead to a wonderful political discussion.
They don't know. They don't know who that person is. Maybe that person is a criminal. The next thing you know, that picture shows up, and he looks bad for being next to that person.
Do you think people are going to fault him? Because a fan
I don't think it was about that. We have three Blues guests coming up in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hour, just FYI, while we digress into this nitwittery just for a little bit. Kind of makes my synapses fire, though.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't think it was about that. I think it was about he had to get going. You think he spends the night in St. Louis or flies back to LA?
Oh, sure they do.
You think so?
Sure. Wouldn't you rather go have a leisurely, maybe a drink and something at the Ritz and wake up at 10 or 11 in the morning and get on your jet and then go as opposed to flying all night and then you're tired the next day?
We were debating that, whether or not he...
I'm sure they stay.
But do you think he probably gets in day of?
He had a show the night before in Tulsa.
Where was it at? Okay.
For those of you who want to see the picture of Lace and me, of course, and then also Bill Maher outside and then get into a highbrow political discussion. Feel free. It'll be up on the fan page momentarily. Doug, a lot of people are joining that fan page. You got to get in there.
Well, there's a lot of violence going on there.
That's a matter of opinion, sir.
Well,
that's a matter
of opinion. Not really.
If you're Bill Maher, though, I'm guessing you're going private jet. And you can get to, because the show ended at 9:10. If you can get off the ground anytime close to 10, you're flying to L.A., which is what, 3.5 hours?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you pick up 2 hours, I'd probably want to get out of town. If you have a beautiful private jet.
What's the point? He's going to save 3 hours the next day?
Because you're going home.
Wouldn't you much rather relax then?
I'm sure you go
to the Ritz, you mellow out, you sleep till whenever you want to sleep, and then whenever you want to take the plane, you go and you're there, and then you're not tired all the time.
I'm sure these private jets are pretty legit. I'm sure you can sleep nicely.
Well, I don't know what his hurry would be to get back.
Maybe he hates St. Louis.
Maybe he's sticking around for Game 7 tonight.
You are an outsider, aren't you?
Good point. Mm-hmm.
I was walking by that Scott Trade Center after the show last night, and you know what I said to Anna Marie?
No.
I said, tomorrow night this building will be rocking.
In that voice.
The Blues and Blackhawks will play their first Game 7 in a playoff series since 1990.
Now, you kind of say Shevin.
Well, that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Shevin.
How'd they do in 90?
Lost.
I expect they did.
Was that Chris Chelios, Doug? Maybe Jeremy
Steve Rose? Larmer got him with a shorty.
Probably so.
What's up, shorty? What's up, Tim? Doug, all these pictures are up on the fan page. Get in where you
which
fit in.
Which pictures now? Which?
The picture of me, Lace, and Anna Marie, which I believe was an MFF waiting to happen had I not hidden in the shrubs.
Lace found that creepy that you were in the shrubbery?
She was all. I told Anna Marie, I said, man, she was really into you. I mean, she was really into you. That's hot. God, I like that. I really do.
But Anna Marie's never into these other girls.
Not nearly as excited about as I am. But I'll tell you, it doesn't mean I'm not going to stop hoping.
You got to keep trying.
Thank you.
You missed, Doug, what, 100% of the shots you don't take, I believe?
Wayne Gretzky, sir.
Well, maybe.
And Michael Scott.
Maybe if you continue with this thing where you see an attractive girl and you immediately leave the table and go crouch behind some bushes. Maybe she will find that so repugnant over the years that she will turn and say, you know what, men are no longer for me.
But that's his goal, so he wins.
Yeah.
He wins either way.
I guess maybe.
Posted the picture of Bill Maher and then some keyboard gangster, so that's exciting. People wanted to see the picture. I put the picture up. Charlie, you cannot win.
No.
Oh,
stay off that page.
This bubble of anger on social media.
That's why.
But I love the page.
I got off the page.
You got off the page? Doug's on the page. I'm on the page. We can never all be on the page at the same time.
The only thing I ever see on there is vileness.
That's exciting.
Yeah. People are angry, though.
I don't know what that's about.
Social media, anonymity.
I think they're trying to be funny.
No.
Through sarcasm.
There's a lot of
mean-spiritedness.
Well, as I said when I put the poll up on the fan page this morning, what do you think? If you had to put money on it, now what do you think? And then you wave your pom-poms. But if you had to put money on it, where are you going, Blackhawks or Blues? And that's up in the air right now. 172 say Blackhawks, 53 say Blues. But I said one thing we can count on at 10:30 tonight, social media will be full of people either calling out so-called fans who gave up on this team
or they will be chastising stupid fans for continuing to support the Cubs of the NHL. It's one or the other, Charlie. Forget about celebrating what would be a great win for the franchise or discussing why in the hell the franchise continues to blow large leads in the postseason in the first round. No, no. Attack other fans on social media and attack the media. That's what the move will be. All right, it's the Acorns Golf Link 7 o'clock hour coming to a close. We have Sergio Mimesso, Jamie McLennan, and Kelly Chase up next. It's Ryan Kelly, Morning After.